All right, we're live. We're recording live.
Recording.
Live. We're not live. We're recording. All right, welcome.
We're
to,
live here.
Welcome to another episode of the Hooligan and the Harridan podcast.
Hooligan and the Harridan, that's
I'm
right.
I'm your co-host, Alex Chowdy.
And I, the hooligan, and
the hooligan.
I am Anna Marie Oaks Chowdy, his wife, the Harridan.
The Harridan, yes.
Which I self-named, so nobody needs to get all mad.
So like, I feel like
I didn't do it to myself.
Besides
to
everybody
myself.
Having to, you know, Google everything, the definition of this stuff, because people started doing that, would text me like, hey, you're not a, she's not.
The only thing they said was I wasn't old.
Right.
The other Denver parts of the that, definition, the other parts of the definition are actually less
I'm
flattering.
Gonna Google Harridan definition right now, so that way people don't have to do it. So Google says a strict, bossy, or belligerent woman. Old woman. A bullying old Harridan.
And Denver said the only thing he said was she's not old.
She's not old, yeah. He just wanted to make sure I knew.
So it's okay.
And then hooligan is defined by a violent young troublemaker. I can't talk today. A violent young troublemaker, typically one of a gang. I'm not a drunken hooligan. As I sip my whiskey.
Great. More brain damage. Perfect.
All right. So we have had some killer, just hilarious responses to some
we
of
have.
Our questions.
I'm just surprised great. People actually listen. Like, I don't.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't
about?
Know what we're imparting for them. It might just be comedy. I don't know.
Well, I think that's a big part of it. People enjoy the banter between you and I, you know, knowing that we've been together almost 20 years.
Yeah.
We have birthed.
Long.
Well, you've birthed
long
five children.
Time. So. And I have given birth to five children.
Yeah. So, I was moral support.
Yeah, you were. Besides the first one.
Yeah, exactly. What? What are you talking about?
I'm gonna go get to Starbucks and get a coffee with your dad. Does that sound okay? I'm actively in labor.
Well, you were in a mellow moment.
No, I wasn't. I was actively in labor.
You're
full of
your
shit.
Your body
man.
Had kind of retracted like 7 centimeters, and you were on the like yoga ball and just kind of rolling around. Relaxing.
I want to be at the birth that you remember, because that is not how I remember
it.
Them.
Was during the like the lull before it kicked back up again.
No, it wasn't.
Listen,
you're a liar and your ass
when we
is
get
on
to
fire.
Heaven, when we get to heaven, we'll ask your dad and he'll corroborate my story.
And he'll be like, dude.
God rest his soul.
Don't argue with your wife.
I love your dad. So today's question is, last one was, like, well, the first two episodes was
biggest fights.
Biggest fights and dumbest fights.
And dumbest fights. And this one is,
they were hilarious.
In-law horror stories.
Right. And I got a lot on this one, which is pretty funny.
I have three responses in my, like, responses to the question. And then I have
right.
one in my direct messages on
yeah.
Instagram.
So I thought, do you want to start with our in-laws? Or do you
I could.
Do you want to end with it?
Let's end with that.
Okay, cool.
That's better.
All right. So, well, first of all, what day is it?
It's Monday.
It's Monday.
The 15th of November.
Right.
So it's the 15th of November, 2021.
Calm down, bro.
I'm just saying, it was Christmas yesterday, and it's already almost Thanksgiving.
It was January 2020, and we were like, there's just
10
like
seconds ago. We lived weird, in Washington a minute ago.
Weird thing people are freaking out about.
Yeah, I started
fast forward
tracking
2 years
that
here we
in
are.
Like December.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
say.
I know. Yeah, we were talking about it. I remember.
Yeah,
yeah. So anyway, this isn't about like the
I mean,
vid.
One of them is about yeah. the vid.
What?
One of the horror stories.
Yeah, you're right. It is, but this episode is not about that. So, real quick, I know we did a read for this, but mm-hmm. as people can see, because this is on the YouTube.
If you're
channel,
looking on the YouTubes,
yes, this
what?
Is our first episode with our
so
kick-ass new sign,
which I have stickers coming.
Yes.
Shirts, I have sticker samples coming next
swag.
Week, and there'll be high quality vinyl stickers that don't get washed off your water bottle when your water bottle gets wet, or you can put it on your car or whatever. You don't have to put it on your car. Oh my god, that's lame.
Yeah,
but we will have stickers first, and then eventually hats and shirts if you feel like sporting this really cool cartoon, which
yeah.
seems a little bit narcissistic of us to have, but it's really fun anyway.
Well, you know, if you tell a little bit of the story behind it, we had our son take a picture, because we had an idea for what the logo was going to be, which is just like a fun pose with
yeah.
me and you. And he took a few different pictures of us. That way I can throw it to the artist and have him just basically do the cartoon drawing
yeah.
based off that. And
he did a great job. He has our tattoos really great and everything. Job,
like, you know, getting like some details off.
I mean,
the
he
tattoos.
Made my arms look buffer than they are, but
oh, your arms are pretty buff. Actually, yeah, when he sent me the sketch and I showed it to Denver, mm-hmm. he said Erica says Annemarie's arms need to be more buff. So
I would love someday to see myself through other people's eyes because I do not see it.
I think that's hard. I think it's hard.
It is hard. It's difficult. Hard. It's very difficult to not see all iterations of you when you look at yourself in the mirror. And it's usually the ones I would say for that you, that are your least flattering that you remember the most and like see.
Yeah. So not to go down a rabbit hole, like real quick, I didn't really start wrapping my head around, how air quote big I am, you know, as far as like, you know, my size compared to other guys.
Air quote.
Until I started jiu-jitsu and I would take my arm and wrap it around somebody. I'm like, oh, your head disappeared. And I'm not saying that in a way to be like cocky. It was just, they would always joke around. I was like, well, to be fair,
they all need to lift more.
Well, there's part of that, but
yeah, I just pulled you all out. Lift more.
Or when I watched a video of a training video of me in Denver, and I was like, Denver, like you deserve a medal for rolling with me on such a regular basis.
Denver's a tall man.
Yeah,
he's a tall man. He's a
you know what?
Man.
First of all, he's like one of my best friends here. But I will give him credit for somebody who's worked in like tech for the vast majority of his life.
Yeah,
he has freakishly strong like grips. Like his grips, insane like grip strength. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Anyway,
He won't roll with me. Huh? He won't roll with me. But
no,
I wouldn't want to roll with him.
It's freaking long too.
Yeah, like I would just be like a little like limpet.
Yeah,
clinging.
He approaches it very analytically. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like he'll look at things in a certain way, so it's fine. But yeah, so getting back to it, here's our signs. We got our
here's
killer.
Here's your sign.
Did you make a redneck joke?
I totally did.
All right. So Wednesday, we're in episode 3. We've got...
Monday, not Wednesday.
You just said Wednesday.
I didn't. I said Monday.
I don't know what day.
The 15th of November.
God, just the days are blurry.
We were supposed to record last Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, that's the benefit of getting a couple, like we knocked them out quick, is and then waiting a week to release them gave us time to kind of get going.
Which
because when you have 5 kids and 18 jobs, you're...
Yeah. We will be asking the next question very soon to get feedback for our next episode.
Right. So, So now we've got episode 3 here getting going. And
in-law horror stories. Dun, dun, dun.
So I had people asking me, like, what's yours? I'm like, dude, my in-laws were the best. I lucked out. I married into an awesome family. And I'm not saying that because you're sitting in front of me. You know that. Everybody knows how much
I did ask you not on recording, like, if you had any horror stories. You're like,
no.
Me? No.
No. No, not at all.
And I probably won't share very many because your brother listens to the podcast.
That's all right. You can share what you want. It's fine. Everybody knows the horror stories. My parents, my dad was an angry old Arab and my mom was a sweet old lady.
True. She was very sweet.
All right. So what do we got coming up? Oh, new stuff. We are now, because I think this is now official. So we are now officially the new... We took over the strength program.
Oh yeah,
for I'm the SBG here.
Strength. I'm the fitness director.
Yeah,
at the SBG gym, and I'm running a strength class currently right now.
Right.
In blocks, and Alex teaches a couple classes, and actually, is working with one of the other teachers to get her, up to speed and better. Like she's really eager to learn.
Yeah.
Coaching the barbell movements. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. Being at a jiu-jitsu gym that's got a fully outfitted like strength room.
Yeah, we're getting another rack too.
Yeah,
like a full
which is
rack.
Awesome. They've got 2 racks.
We have 2 sore next racks.
Yeah.
We need a third one.
Yeah. So luckily for us, Travis likes to lift. So
and that's Kisa. Helpful.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So he built great, gyms in both his, locations here in town in Kalispell and Whitefish. So you're running that program, I'm running a class, I'm gonna be taking on some clients. I'm already training one of the coaches there. So
John Boone.
Yeah, it's fun. So yeah. So that's good. So that started. All right. So let's get into the
in-law horror stories.
In-law horror
you
stories.
Go first.
Okay.
What do you have? I don't even know what you've got in there.
Well, I've got some interesting one here. So first of all, like some of the nice ones.
Remember, these are all anonymous. We are right. not, oh, yeah, naming, no, no, no. Names, I'm not because naming names because
I know.
It's yeah.
I'm surprised Tony didn't send us anything. What?
It's because his mother-in-law, sort of mother-in-law, she's got cancer. So he's not going to send Matt mean things about her. Yeah. And yeah, she's not
good
mean.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So one of the nice things was in-laws have been more loving to me and my children than my own parents.
Oh.
Yeah. That was one of them, which was really cool.
That's really sweet.
Right. And one was... this guy, he cracks me up. He was, you know, did the response in Instagram,
mm-hmm.
and he had to do like three responses to put everything mm-hmm. in the question.
Oh my gosh.
So, his was, been in a relationship 11 years, have never received a gift, card, or even mail with my name addressed or any correspondence from her family ever. I've been there for Christmas and watched everyone but me open something.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like, we're talking about like passive aggressive. Like acting like you don't even exist.
Yeah.
Like to me, like when I read this, it reminded me of almost like episodes out of like Friends. You know what I mean? Like the snark. You know, like the yes. you know, a dating. You know, somebody's dad or parents. Yeah. You know, like you're not good enough for my kid. That kind of thing. And they were just like acting like they were barely even there. Or there was one of the
that has to erode a relationship. Because oh, here's yeah. the thing: if your
well, they're
family
not together anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
If your family
yeah.
actively pretends that a person doesn't exist,
yeah.
then they're not going to give you any kind of objective feedback on right. anything. They're just going to instantly hate on a person. And, you know, my parents know me very well, and my parents know you very well, and my dad would like he was like, yeah, I know, she's really stubborn. Like he was never like, she's a princess and you're an asshole. Like
yeah,
he was
yeah,
very
yeah.
realistic about things. And but if you've got your family
yeah.
and you say, oh, this happened, they're just like, yeah, he's a piece of shit, you should leave him. Like regardless of the context or any of those things, they need to be they should have objective, like an objective view at things
right.
as opposed to just like always. I just think it's garbage to be like, this person is my child, so therefore they're always right and it's always perfect. Because you know better than anybody else your kid's flaws.
Yep.
So, like, you shouldn't be like, yeah, my kid's a total piece of shit. But you should definitely be able to recognize the good in other people, whether you like them or not. Like, you just have to treat them with kindness and love, unless they've been a total asshole, which maybe he has, but I don't know. I think that's dumb.
Yeah.
Stupid.
That's a pretty nasty one as far as, you know, I mean, like, if you had to pick, would you want in-laws that were just like belligerent and like yelled, screamed, or like verbally abusive, like that kind of thing, to just like really shitty to be around? Or that one? I mean, both suck.
I would
right?
I would pick the ones that are quiet, quietly passive aggressive. Just yeah. because, here's why though. Because I have dealt a little bit with belligerent relatives.
What?
And it's almost like I've had a combination of both sometimes.
Yeah, I see that.
But I would much rather have the passive aggressive people than the ones that yell and verbally abuse and scream yeah. and, you know, judge and are harsh and horrible. Like I mean, both are shit. Like neither right. of those situations are positives, mm-hmm. but I would much rather have the quiet one that doesn't ever get me a gift because I really don't give a shit about presents. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
Like I am a quality time person and
yeah.
like words of affirmation. I want to spend time with you
right.
and I want to talk to you. I want to go on a trip with you. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. No, it's, I think, I feel like at least the quiet one, there's a chance to have a rational conversation at some point.
Well, also, if they're just completely ignoring you, then yeah. you can sit on your phone and do something else or read
yeah.
a book. Like, you know, don't have to engage. You know what I mean? So,
but obviously, but it doesn't help to like grow like cohesive. Especially if you have kids.
No.
And you're trying to
no.
have them have a... Yeah, that's a touchy one. I mean,
that's
a hard
rough.
One. Yeah, that's
but,
a rough one.
But then the other side of that, like you said, the other side of that coin is like belligerent yelling and screaming. Like,
yeah, like I wouldn't want that.
I wouldn't want that for
no,
my kids
no,
or myself.
At all. Like I wouldn't bring them around at all.
I would
period.
Much... Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would much rather sit and read a book where people don't think yeah. I exist than be yelled and screamed at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. This one is, you know what? I forgot to ask him if he was cool with me saying his name, but
don't remember.
I'm not going
all
to. I said
anonymous.
I'm not going to. I know.
All
that.
Of them.
I know. So, my ex mother-in-law was a minion of Satan, but then she got called back to hell. So I won. It's an old, like,
tell that story.
Like, high school buddy of mine.
Tell that story about what that was like. Like what she did. What
said. He messaged me. Hold on, let me pull up the conversation. Yeah. And I will get that for you 1 second here. Yeah, that one was nuts. Ah, here we go. Okay. He said, this is 100% true. She convinced my ex that I was going to steal the kids and flee to a non-extradition country. So it was hard to take the kids anywhere. She caused so much bullshit, and I knew it was her because when she died, it all just stopped. He said it was insane. She would she would sit around all day and watch CNN, HLN, the Hysterical Ladies Network. So she was convinced that I was going to try and steal the kids. Hallmark movies, like Lifetime, all that stuff. He said, she was convinced I was going to steal the kids, kill the ex, stalk the other family members, things that sound like they're absolutely in my wheelhouse.
I know this person.
Yes,
not
exactly.
Super, super well, yeah. But I've met him and spent time with him.
He said, if there's a heaven, she's not
I did
in it.
Not get that vibe off of
no,
him at all.
I've known him since high school. I'll be 42 in a couple weeks. So
yeah,
and we've kept in touch, and yeah, that is
he'll
not
be 42 in a week and a half.
That's what I just said.
Your birthday is the Saturday.
I know. I'm excited.
You're so old.
I'm not old.
Old.
Wise.
Old balls.
Hey, I'll tell you. Did you say what? Hey, our priest is listening to this.
No, he is not. He is not listening to this. I guarantee you, he does not listen to this.
Yeah. Somehow, we are the youth group leaders of.
Not somehow.
For our church.
We're considered the cool parents of the church because we have tattoos and I have a nose ring.
And a podcast.
And we lift and do jiu-jitsu. Yeah, that's
exactly.
Why. It's, you know.
Yeah. So I was, speaking of old, I was at the chiropractor today, and this is the fourth regular chiropractor I've gone to, besides my cousin who's a chiropractor back when I was growing up. And besides the 2 hours I spent there, as far as
literally 2 hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, just going through.
He's a very, very thorough chiropractor.
Yeah, 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 and he's got a cool background. But it was like pretty much every chiropractor I've taken X-rays, or doctor I've gone mm-hmm. to, and well, he was looking up my medical records at first. He's like, "Have you ever been to a hospital?" I said rarely.
Yes.
And then he goes,
knee surgery.
And yeah.
You're hospitalized after getting jumped by those rednecks.
But that was so long ago.
Still.
Yeah. And he was looking up Montana. That's why. I was I moved from Washington. And yeah. So, but he was asking, hey, have you ever been in like a really like traumatic, like broken half your bones injury, incident in your life? I go, no. I said, I've been in a couple accidents. I played football, but. Beyond that, he's like, your body's full of like scar tissue and muscle you built over it. So like, he said the people I see with your back and hips and pelvis that are so jacked are like barely walking. So he said, how are you even functional?
He's barely functional.
I am not barely functional. I'm very functional. Thank you very much. But it was just funny too. Like he wasn't saying it like in a,
No, yeah.
He was like, you just like have done this thing where over the last, I said, my mentality was when I had all these injuries in like the late 90s of like football, when it was still, you got your bell rung unless you were actually completely blacked out, unconscious, right? Was just because my cousin told me this when I blew my knee out and I kept like my knee kept buckling and he said, you just need to get it stronger. Your ligaments are loose. Your leg like wobbles way too much.
Yeah.
So then that.
Which is not wrong.
No, but like that mentality kind of like. Permeated throughout every time I had an injury or something hurt, I would just train around it and just make that area stronger. And so what he said was like, I've got all these like, especially like with the rib, like the busted rib I have on the right side, like all these like calcified pockets,
which I discovered like 2 years after we started dating.
My tumor.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a very stressful.
I broke a rib in high school in football, on my right side, and it healed like very like
It sticks out. It's like a knob.
Calcified. Yeah, exactly. So for you guys watching, instead of the rib like this, it's like here. So it sticks out. Nice little nubby area.
So
there.
He was
100 pounds heavier.
Fluffier when we started
dating.
Fluffier? Yeah.
No, I was fat.
He was fluffier when we started dating. And after, and like 2 years in, he lost like 90 pounds.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, snuggling or whatever. And I'm
touching butts.
Not touching butts. And I was rubbing his sides and I come across this massive lump on his side. And I'm like, oh my God, you have a tumor in the middle of snuggling. And he was like, oh no, that's just my broken rib. And I'm like, what? It's like 2 years later. 2 years
after we started dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was like when I was like 16. I was in high school and I broke that rib.
Yeah.
Took a helmet to the rib cage. Yeah.
So that's how fluffy he was. He wasn't noticeable.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was interesting kind of like the conversation I had with him and the different work and stuff. He's like, so like when you get massages, I'm like, I've never had a massage. He goes, what?
How old okay, you? Here's a fun massage
story. He goes,
when I met Alex I would try to give him a massage, he'd be like, oh God, it hurts so much. Well, oh, stop.
He said, there's a reason for that. So my doctor says.
My doctor says. Yeah. No, it's because you were just a big giant bitch at the time. You have gotten tougher in the years that I've known you. You have not always been this tough.
Who?
You.
Me?
Yes.
Well, because life makes you tougher. You can't be tough at like 23 and like you were raised like in a middle class family eating like falafel and steak and,
and
you know,
yeah,
and
you're like,
playing
so
soccer,
hard.
You know, you know, like rough life, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
no,
rough.
I've never said I had a rough life. No,
good.
No.
Good. Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't start figuring all that stuff out until like my mid-20s and then like actually actively seeking out like hard things and then like spending.
I just remember trying to give you a massage and you like curled up. We're like, oh, and I was like, what?
It was
the
like
hell?
That friend of episode, like that Friends episode. Monica's like, I give you massages. And everybody's like, ah, ah.
Except that I do give good massages. You're just a big baby.
Well, now, you know.
I've always given good massages.
No, I'm just saying now what's the word I'm looking for? Damn it, I'm having TBI brain again.
No comment.
Appreciate the value of the massages and the quality of them. So, there
good.
You go. All right.
Better.
So.
I got one.
Go for it.
Okay. So, this is from a friend. I'm not going to name names or anything like that, but this is her response. Oh my God, there's so many. My father-in-law kissed me on the lips.
Oh, done. She sent me that stuff too. Okay.
I win. So
I win.
I asked her about it when I saw her the other day, and she was like, oh, it wasn't just once. It was multiple times. It's how he greets his own daughters. He grabs them by the shoulder and like shoulders and kisses them full on the mouth. So it continued her entire relationship with this person.
He
passed away a couple of years ago.
Talked to her about it extensively. Like, did she ever say anything about it?
Can I finish telling the story?
Yeah.
Are you going to keep interrupting me?
No. What?
Shut your face off.
We're done talking.
This is my story. Fuck you.
Well, first of all, I got the message.
No, I have the message. I got it first, so shut your mouth. And she's my friend. So she was telling me the other day that she would just turn her face away to avoid it because he would keep doing it. Yeah.
She just punched him in the face.
Here's the thing.
You wouldn't.
My dad did not do a kiss on the lips thing like once, I don't know, probably eight. I think we hit eight. He was hugs and, you know, like a kiss on the head and
right.
He would call us pumpkin or whatever.
Yeah, pumpkin.
But like kissing full on the mouth.
Yeah.
No. No,
especially
thank
like
you.
Your grown daughter-in-law.
Well, and it's like,
yeah, it's weird.
It's like he was a big man too. Yeah. That's super intimidating,
yeah,
I would say, if you're
bummer.
A smaller person.
Well, yeah.
And it's just really inappropriate.
No,
like you have
sure.
to ask that question. Hey, is it okay if I kissed you on the lips? No, yeah. Weirdo.
Yeah, I'm a personal trainer, and like when I go to like fix form and stuff, a lot of times what I'll do is just so people can get that like mind muscle connection, mm-hmm. understand like what you're saying. It's like mm-hmm. I want you to bend at your hips, and it's like I want you to feel these rhomboid squeeze. Like you point, you tap them. But what I do is, especially with a lot of my female clients, is I say, hey, I'm a basically,
I'm gonna touch
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I'm like, you cool if I show you where? They go, oh, yeah. But yeah. I always.
I mean,
like,
you
make
have
sure.
The thing is.
I don't just start grabbing.
You know. Have to be able to manipulate,
yes.
of course,
yeah.
within parameters,
right.
your clients.
Yeah, but when you have a new client, like you don't know
yeah.
like their boundaries
no,
and
sure.
that kind of stuff
for
too.
Sure.
You know, so.
I always make it so it's never yeah. like soft and gentle. Yeah. I always do spear fingers.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You like, just like you jab
poke.
Them. Yeah.
So there's no gentle yeah. caresses.
No, it's just like when you want them to get tight in the shoulders, like you grab their shoulders and pull them back.
Pull them back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or like, for me, what I tell them is like, this always works. I always say like I want you to grab a pencil with your scapulas,
yeah.
you know, and then you know, the yep. pop up. Yeah. So, but yeah, but the only reason I brought that up is like with a client, I'm like, you mind if I show you,
yeah,
you know,
what client. I want you to
do? A client. Yeah. You know what I mean? So like, I'm can imagine. Oh my God. Did she send you anything else?
No.
She sent me a bunch.
Let me see. I'll look in the message from her.
So there's also from the same person.
It's been a couple of weeks earlier.
Said, where to start? Father-in-law kissed me on the lips. Planned an entire camping trip for us and then spent the entire time dealing with their bullshit. had to call the sheriff and CPS on all my in-laws for sexual abuse and child-on-child abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty gnarly when she sent me that one. So, yeah. That's all the same person, by the way. So,
and she's lovely and wonderful.
She is.
But that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. The whole family is really cool. Not the extended family.
I mean, we don't know the extended
family. No, no, no. But I mean her and her husband and the kids. Yeah. So.
All right. Do you got one?
I think that's all of them. The ones I got.
Oh, I got. Yeah. Three more.
You got three more?
So the next one is.
Yeah.
It's from my good friend in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my parked car was hit. My girlfriend, now wife's mom, introduced herself, and then she told me that she hit my car. I said it was bright yellow.
How bad was the damage?
It was parked. I didn't ask, but he said it was a parked car. It was bright yellow, and she just nailed it.
Jeez.
He was like, okay.
There's a guy at a place that we frequent.
Yes. Yeah. Don't give too many details.
And apparently
legit does not open his eyes
when
he's talking to you
and apparently he
drives
every time which is scary every time he parallel parks he like love taps every car
on the regular in front of this ping, establishment
as he's pulling in and leaving so
yeah
anyway
I got another one
okay
this one says ha, 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 ha. Nope they'll find me
they'll like I'm not gonna say
yes
just like the 6 degrees of separation like they happen to hear
someone
this story
will know
somebody will tell them the
and
story.
They'll be like hey I recognize my assholery on this podcast it must be about
the story sounded like
I resemble
you.
That remark
like why would somebody on a podcast be talking about me which podcast was it oh it's Alexander Marie my daughter's friends with them sons of bitches
no worries there nobody listens it's fine okay and then I got another one
you keep telling yourself that
it's easier for me that way my first father-in-law and sister-in-law didn't go to my destination wedding. They kept the refunds.
Oh, they had a wedding.
Yeah. So this person in her first marriage, which was to like a really awful person.
So
I know this person and her current husband and her family.
So they were right not going.
No, they weren't right not going pieces of shit. Because here's how it goes down. My first father-in-law and sister-in-law didn't go to the destination wedding. Uh-huh. They kept the refunds for the tickets that my mom paid for.
Oh, so her mom paid for the tickets?
For them to go.
Okay.
And they didn't go, and they got the tickets refunded and kept the money.
How'd that work?
Because you have to give the you have to put the tickets in the people's names. You can't buy a ticket and have it in your name.
Right, but usually they refund to the, what's it called? To like the payment
I mean, this was source. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, maybe it
this
was.
This was, their kids are like 17 and 15.
Okay.
So this was
on online
like
booking.
two decades ago.
So that's before online booking really kind of took off.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still funny to me to say that.
She's now married to a lovely person and they're great together.
I'm trying to think who this is.
I'm just not going to tell you online.
I know that.
But they're wonderful. But she has some horror stories just about, her husband. I don't know about the in-laws, but her husband was a bad person.
Yeah.
So. I'm glad that she's not with him. She's with somebody who's way better.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then I have one more. I have to pull it up. It's on a direct message. You can riff if you want to.
Yeah. It's. I remember hearing just these like stories about in-laws from got a friend of ours who talked about his mother-in-law basically is just like his wife hates doesn't even have a relationship with her mom, you know, at all because her mom is so bad, you know, from a standpoint of, again, I kind of go back to that thing. It's almost like a character in a TV show. You're like, these people really exist. They don't come around at all except for when there's money needed. Right. Yeah. Something is needed. And it's never a flat out like, hey, I need money. It's like weasel your way back into life for a little while. And then, you know, at this moment, it's just like, oh, you know, I've got this business. It's almost there, but like funding fell out. Or, oh, you know, I my car broke down. Oh, I was remodeling the house and the contractor took off and screwed me. And now I'm out $10,000. Like stuff like that a lot.
Yeah.
And it was always that thing. Or, you know, there was a few years where they hadn't talked for a while. And at that point, they had kids, you know, my friend and his wife. And so then the mom had never met the grandkids. So he agreed to, you know, pay for her to fly out and stay and whatnot. And and basically, well, she had said, oh, okay. And she had picked a time and everything else to do it. And so she flew out. Stayed for whatever it was, like a week or 10 days. He said it wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. He was just like, it was just like, meh. Like, yeah. Almost like she was kind of like apathetic to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then when time came for her to leave, he went to go drive her to the airport.
Yeah.
She gets in the car, gets her bag, says bye to the kids, bye to his wife, drives to the airport and gets to the airport and she tells him, oh, by the way, I don't have anywhere to fly back to. And so this is like on the way to the airport, right? Okay. He goes, what are you talking about? You don't have anywhere to fly back to. She goes, oh, I was evicted.
This story sounds really familiar.
Yeah,
I know these people.
You know who I'm talking about. Okay. Yeah. And she said, I was evicted. He goes, like, what do you mean evicted? When? She goes, oh, like about a month ago. He's like, so you came at her knowing you were homeless, basically. He didn't tell us. And like, you're trying to guilt me into now not sending you back to a homeless situation. You want to stay here? And you waited until we got in the car, packed your bags, said bye to the family, and drove to the airport. And so,
did she even have a ticket to leave?
Well, yeah, because he bought it. Remember?
Oh.
Yeah, he paid for her to fly out.
You're going to have to remind me of who these people are, but it's super familiar.
So, and I asked him, like, so what'd you do? He's like, well, I told her, like, see you later. I kicked her out of the car.
Yeah.
You see, he hasn't talked to her since, and that was like a few years ago at least. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I found this one.
Okay.
This is the COVID one. So, this is another person that I know via Instagram and because of being a strength coach, like it's a small world.
Community,
like,
yeah.
Everybody knows everybody essentially. If you don't know me, like it's not, it's like one degree of separation. It's very rarely more than a degree of separation. Like other barbell strength coaches that actually utilize like proper mechanics and whatnot. It's a very small world. So, we've had a bunch of conversations over the last few years about pregnancy training and all that stuff. And, you know, paleo diet and whatnot, all that stuff back when I was paleo. So here is her response. Ha, this amount of crazy won't fit in the box.
I like when I get a DM because it won't fit in the response box.
Prior to COVID, my in-laws moved in two streets over from us. Watched our son while we worked. They have a little boy who's probably like almost three now or three. Babysat for us for date nights. My family is 2 hours away, so it was nice having them close.
Right.
COVID hits. My mother-in-law loses her actual mind. Tells me I'm not allowed to see my family unless we adhere to a strict 14-day quarantine. Now,
what family?
Her in-laws. Like her husband's mom and dad and family and all that.
Oh,
stuff.
Her mom said that.
Her mother-in-law.
Oh, gotcha. So like, the kids couldn't come over. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
They've got one kid.
Yes.
This person is a nurse, by the way, and her husband is a firefighter.
Okay.
So they're both working, and they like they both work in the medical field essentially because he's a paramedic firefighter. Okay. So tells me I'm not allowed to see my family unless we adhere to a strict 14-day quarantine. So I had to sacrifice days that should have been my maternity leave to see my family for the holidays. Daycares were at capacity, so we got on a waiting list and finally got in this August. She continues to be insane, telling my husband, who's a firefighter, also her child, and has been on the front lines this whole time, any first responder refusing the jab deserves to lose their job.
Yeah.
Fast forward to present day, we're finally free. We're now pregnant, and half the days I should have had for paid leave are gone. We were told we're selfish and stupid for getting pregnant during a pandemic, even though we're not currently in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. I said congratulations because I was like, yay, baby. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I asked if I could share. I said I wouldn't share name or location.
Yeah.
And she said, it's been a lot, honestly, but it showed me her true self and I'm thankful. I know more now before my son is old enough to understand and thanks. We're so excited. said I could share. So, like,
I see these situations as, although like stressful and heartbreaking at times,
they're just really
they're
enlightening.
They're enlightening ways to go, oh, and depending on how strong your like your intestinal fortitude is, right? And moral convictions and like what you want and don't want in your life. It's a kind of a nice, harsh slap in the face of these are people I don't want in my life.
Yeah, which sucks when you're married into it.
It does.
And also, it's really like this is where it would be difficult is if your partner didn't recognize the damage.
Right.
Or did, but wasn't willing to like rock the boat.
Yeah, that would be really tough.
That's really, really hard because like if you recognize it, that's again, that's where you get back, you know, go back to your saying of intestinal fortitude or convictions is that, you know, when you get married, you're choosing to put the other person first.
Right.
And whatever family that you have together first before your family of origin. Now, that doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. And sometimes it's sad and scary. But that is the decision that you make when you pick a person to bind your life to and build a life with.
Sure.
So if somebody, your person, doesn't nut up when your when their family is being terrible, they recognize the shit, but they don't do anything or defend you.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's really, really hard. And I think that would be heartbreaking.
Well, especially in a situation like that. You know, it's like we had a similar situation with the Rona crap to go visit family. God. And I won't get into bullshit. I won't get into hard details, but basically you know, going back to
last year.
Yeah, to go see my dad for hospice. And
which means he's actively dying if you're in hospice. Just so everybody knows.
And you know,
and yes, we both lost our dads last year.
Right. One of my one of my family members basically wanted us to quarantine for 14 days. And I'm sitting there going, like, you want me to take my five kids and my wife, drive 2 days to California, and then hide in a hotel somewhere for 14 days and then...
Where it's ridiculously expensive to do anything.
It was just...
it's a 22-hour drive.
And then
we are labeled as selfish.
Right. And then there was a thing of like, you know, well, my dad's high risk. And my response was, he's fucking dying. And then I, you know, hung up.
Slammed the computer closed because it was a Zoom call.
Yeah. That was
cool. Then I get all the frantic text messages. Please, please get back on the call.
No. So anyway, what's frustrating about like now with some of the stuff, like with the mandates, right? And some of the people that are coming out, these like fucking morons that are saying, well, if you're unvaccinated and you want to, and you end up in the hospital, then you shouldn't receive treatment because you chose not to get vaccinated. And I said, cool story. Then
every fat person, smoker, cancer person.
If you have type 2 diabetes.
Yeah.
You know, if you have heart disease because you're 400 pounds and 40%
body fat. If you have COPD because you smoked. If you have lung cancer because you smoked.
Well, and even like, not to be like, you know, just like
belligerent about it. Or even if you worked in the profession, like firefighters or nurses or whatever.
Or if you like, were, what do you call it? If you're like a BMX rider, like if you're like in the X Games, you choose to do stuff that's risky. You're saying like if you get hurt, like you shouldn't get medical, like... So,
but it's only if you're unvaccinated. Yeah, it has nothing to do. Like, that's the problem is this has become, I mean, it's always been political. We've talked about this. We had some Instagram or Facebook lives or Instagram lives back in the beginning of all
last
this.
Year. Yeah.
But
when
like
we were in Tacoma still.
When people would go to the other side of the street when they saw us unmasked in the fresh outdoors.
I enjoyed actually going to the store and people like move out of the way. And I was like, cool, get out of my way.
I have more access don't have to wait to for anything.
Yeah, this is awesome.
But like God. But that's the thing is this the damage done, the political the financial, social, mental damage psychological damage this has done to the population
right.
far outstrips the actual virus. Far outstrips it. Well. And the bullshit that we that just keeps getting like peddled, I just like yeah. there's a reason we live here. Right. There's a reason that we live here and don't surround ourselves with people that live with their heads in the sand and their asses in the
yeah.
air.
No, it's like cool. It's cool.
Like you're talking out of your ass. Put it back in the sand, buddy. Right. Like, don't.
We got to get off the COVID thing.
I know.
We go hard in the paint. No. Because it's not.
Well, because no. Like, look it's what not about censoring, look what it did to our like relationships.
Yeah, that's
like,
why, because it's very
that's
infuriating.
That's just an example. Yes, and exactly. We've had our own run-ins with it. Luckily, right. the majority of our family isn't that way.
No.
But it still became a problem, and we knew it would.
Yeah,
because it's
sure.
political, and yeah. it's linked along political lines.
There's also like now that we've gone a couple years in, and this isn't to get on COVID. This has more to do with like personal responsibility. You know, the one thing that this kind of quote unquote pandemic showed was I remember talking to you about it. I talked to a lot of people about it. I talked about it on my podcast, my other podcast, to quite a few guests, kind of high profile guests, military people. And the conversation was like, you know, like what I hope really comes out of this, because it was once we saw what it was that people really start
taking
care of their own health and well-being, because yeah. we're like, you know, this at and that I was at a point where in the country, like conservative stats was like 42% obesity rate, right? You know, for adults in the US, right? So, and that was before pre-pandemic, right?
Right.
So it was like, okay, cool. This will be a good wake-up call for people. Nope. I mean, for some it was, for sure, 100%.
Well, but, and then that became like, stop fat-shaming people, which
but
isn't actually what was happening.
But what it did show really fast is how many people, like how many types of people on a mass scale really want and enjoy being taken care of by Big Daddy.
Big Brother.
Big Daddy. Yeah,
Big
right.
Daddy.
They do. They want everything handled with government. I've yeah. seen, you know, and you know, who knows if this is people, but like if you actually go into their accounts, like their Twitter accounts, and it's actually good you're not on Twitter.
I hate Twitter.
Well, it's obsessive.
Call it Twatter.
Yeah. But the thing that's interesting is like you'll see people will make posts going like, I love living in America and having being on like welfare and having free healthcare, because I don't have to work out. I could be fat and I can eat whatever I want. And I know I could just go to the hospital and get all the meds I want, and I don't care. I need to worry about my body image. And I'm sitting there going, holy crap. And there's probably a lot of people that have a similar mindset, which is like, I can just have the safety net of falling yeah. off this thing, and just the system will take care of me. And yeah. not only that people want that. They want the system to take care of them. They want government to take care of them. They want government to handle it. Like, they're perfectly happy. I mean, you've seen like thousands of things like these trends on hashtags on Twitter, you know, that will go like for hundreds of thousands of people will post about just hand over like F your freedom. Like they're like fuck your freedom, like trended on Twitter, like after Schwarzenegger said it, and when people like were talking about like you can't mandate the vaccine, you know, when the vaccine has a higher, you know, side effect.
We know
rate
nothing
than the disease.
About the vaccine.
Right. So
we have no long term studies.
I don't want to turn this into like the effects. Yeah. Anyway. So but it's just like how many people are just more than happy to basically just say like screw your freedom. Right. You know, there's like no lesson to history.
Back to in-laws.
Yes.
Do you have any horror stories?
Hard left.
Yeah.
Do I have horror stories with
or
you?
Just like stories that you find funny, because
funny stories.
Horror is a harsh word, like a hard word, because it's not something that really happened with my family.
The only story I have in the 18 years we've been together where it was even remotely of like a disagreement with your parents was with your mom one time with our kids in Felton.
Oh yeah.
Where I didn't want the kids to go play outside because I hadn't cleaned out all the we lived in Felton. We had about an acre, but a lot of it was like on the hillside on the there was a creek.
But it was
and there
like
was like tons of like blackberry yeah. brambles, and there yeah. was a creek drop off, and the kids were like 4 and 2.
They were
the
little.
Time. Yeah, they were little. And I remember like it did get to a point where I actually like spent like $1,000, brought in like a crew.
Yeah,
and
they
took out like four dumpster loads of just like
bracken,
bramble and bracken, all kinds of crap, right? And then made it actually like, oh, you go down there and play.
Yeah, we could use it after that.
Right, which was awesome. But before
we lived there 7 years, yes. And it took, I think, 4 years for us to do that. We had a tree go down. We had a bay tree go down in the backyard.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a project I chopped down.
Yeah.
But I specifically remember, I just gotten home from work. It was like right after, I think Adelaide was maybe 6 months old or one or something. And Elias wanted to go play down below. And I told him no. And, you know, and then he kept bugging me. And I think I was a year into like the gym being open in the studio, and your mom was there, and he kept saying, he kept bugging me. I said, no, I'm not right now. I said, I haven't cleaned all the stuff out. Mm-hmm. And then your mom said, that's okay. I'll take them out of mine. I said, no, it has nothing to do with like you taking them. Like, I don't want them down there right now. And she kept pushing it. And then like, I snapped her. I'm like, Darlene, I'm like, it's like, just like, I'm not asking you and your permission. I'm like, I'm telling you, my son can't go down there.
Yeah.
You know, and your mom was like, well, like, and like in 18 years, that's like the biggest, like, that's it. That's the only, and that's all it was a simple, like, you know, parenting boundary thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it. Like, and it wasn't really an issue. Like, that wasn't a thing with you, with your mom and dad. I think your mom and dad were, I love your parents. We're awesome with our kids, always have been. And, you know, I've always trusted them with their lives.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, like,
we never twice about having them babysit.
No, never.
They babysat all the time.
Yeah. No. And great stories. Your dad had his shop in our garage for 5 years in Felton, and the kids got to go out with Papa and learn how to cut copper. And he used a breaker table.
And, massive. You know, like,
he would use the, he'd use the, what do you call it, tack welder, and he'd show them all kinds of stuff. It was really, really cool. So
that was really cool having him there.
Yeah. And your siblings, half of them lived with us at one time or another, and that was cool. They got to, so the kids got to grow up with a lot of their aunts and uncles and their, you know.
Well, and my youngest siblings didn't have like a bunch of younger siblings.
Right, at the time,
So like.
Oh, you mean or kids, yeah.
Like, yeah,
kids. Nobody had kids at the time.
I mean,
we
had two kids, and we had, my brother had one, and Caitlin had one. And then two, of course, because.
Right, because Hector was born after Phoebe. Yeah.
Born the same year as the twins.
The twins, I'm sorry.
He was born like 2 weeks after.
No, I'm not sorry, Hector.
Yeah, but Adelaide and Penelope are the
Penelope.
Same age.
Penelope was born
after.
So
they had one. Yeah. We had two, and Solomon had one.
Yeah,
it was good times.
Yeah. No, but I don't have any. I know you've got a few. Well, you were the, strong-headed white girl.
I'm the white girl that married the Palestinian man and did not do all the things that I should have done as a good girlfriend or wife, whatever the fuck that means.
My dad had a tough.
I'll tell a funnier one.
Yeah, my dad had a tough way of showing. Like what he deemed respect and love, you know, although he was very loving and literally would give you the shirt off his back and every dime in his account if you needed it. But
don't you dare talk about your feelings.
No, but that's how he was raised, you know.
Right. Like, but that's not like, that doesn't express like feelings or emotions or love or care to most people.
No. And but so like some people, just, like culturally, it's just like they express their feelings with food and money.
With stuff. And I didn't want either of those things.
Sure.
So I remember we'd been dating about a year and our friends were getting married at the cathedral in San Francisco. And I just didn't, it was hard for me to find clothes that I liked. Like I have a long torso and short legs and broad shoulders. And
we were engaged.
We were just dating.
Oh, that's
We'd been together almost a year.
Oh yeah.
And like no boobs. So like the combination of no boobs, big shoulders and a big butt. It's like the worst clothing combination on the planet. Like literally worst clothing combination, because if you have broad shoulders and you're like a little heavier, which I was at the time, all shirts are made for people with massive chests.
Yeah, like
so they just like balloon out from you and you look like you're wearing a fucking muumuu. And so I didn't want to wear dresses because the size that I was at the time, like none of them were attractive or flattering. They were all hideous. And so I went to Nordstrom's, which is a big deal because that was not something that I had grown up doing, like going to fancy stores. And Nordstrom's is a fancy store. If it's not fancy to you, then okay, bougie. But my mom bought me this really lovely gray suit with a lavender pinstripe and got it altered for me. And I remember we went to, because the Nordstrom's was in San Jose. We went to your parents' house, right. You and I. And your dad found out I was wearing a pantsuit to a wedding.
I remember that.
And he was so mad. He started arguing with me about wearing a pantsuit.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I was like, he's like, just wear the goddamn dress. And I was like, I don't want to. And he didn't, like, he was so taken aback by me being like, I'm not going to wear a fucking dress to this wedding because all of them are the shittiest looking things on the planet. And this was like a fancy Arab wedding. Like,
I remember we
people
went,
wore like sequins and like,
you were like, why is everybody wearing prom dresses?
Prom dresses and like dripping with jewels. And I'm wearing my like Nordstrom's.
What? And the people
suit.
That got married, that's not even their style at all.
No. Like, they're super down to earth, super chill people. Like, but they got married in this really beautiful, big,
so funny
church in Diamond Heights in San Francisco. So it was like a really well known cathedral up there. And and it was like the fanciest wedding I had ever been into in my life. And so I was like, we got the invitation and we were going, but I was like, well, I'm going to wear this really nice. Like, I got the suit tailored to me. Like,
you look great.
Like, it was beautiful.
Was that the gray one or the black one?
It was the gray one.
The gray one. Yeah, I remember.
And
now. Yeah.
I think I might have finally gotten rid of it because it doesn't fit at all. But for a long time, I wanted to get it like turned into like a suit that fit me now, like a vest and stuff. But it just was way too big. But,
right.
But like, I just remember he was so mad because I wouldn't wear a dress. His status would be affected by me wearing a pants that showed that, you know, that my legs separated.
It was so funny.
It was very like weird.
Later on in life.
That was like a year in and I was like, what the hell? Like my dad didn't even argue with me about dresses.
After the twins were born. It had gotten to a point where it was like, he would just like allude to something. And he's like, go ahead, give me one of your smart ass American remarks. And I'm listening, and I remember I told him one time, I'm like, you know, we came here in 68, right? He goes, yeah. I'm like, you've been here 40 years. Like,
you left when you were 18.
You left home, like air quotes home. I said, when you were 18, bro. Like,
bro, I'm sure your dad loved that.
I did.
That,
I used
bro.
To tell him all the time. Yeah. So, and he'd laugh. You know, he'd laugh.
Yeah.
He's like, home is home. I'm like, well, go back home.
Yeah. So that was one of the funnier. One of the funnier moments.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. But here's the thing that's really good is you weren't ever like, I mean, there were times when I was really frustrated and really angry about things and you were like, look, they're my family. And I was like, you know, but for the most part, like, you stood up for me, defended me, didn't like feed me to the wolves and just be like, figure it out. Or like, nope, it's not a problem. Like, there was never any of that. So that was good. That was always good. No.
Cool. That was a interesting topic. This is fun. These topics are interesting to definitely delve into, just like the core of people's relationships and kind of how it affects their lives and whatnot. You know, and
should we sneak peek the next question?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's drop that in, and we'll post it tomorrow too.
Okay.
Well, tomorrow being Tuesday here, so this episode will be out
next week, right?
Yeah. Huh. It'll be out, well, next when people Tuesday. Hear this, it'll be out Tuesday the 22nd?
Yeah,
22nd, yeah.
Okay.
So this comes out on the 22nd, yeah.
So we have Secret You've Never Told Your Partner coming up next.
Wait, is this the wish or the secret?
This is, well.
We've got a couple.
We have a deepest wish you haven't shared with a partner.
Yeah.
And then we have therapy, yes, no, or why. And then we have. We skipped to in-law horror stories, which was actually question 5.
Yeah.
So we've got a few.
Okay. So let's go with...
Deepest wish you haven't told your partner.
Deepest wish.
So we'll post that on our Instagram in the next couple of days to gather like intel and stories. Remember, all of these stay anonymous.
Yes.
So we will not give your information.
Right.
Like, so people, if your in-laws happen to hear this or whatever, or your family or your partner or whatever. So you are safe with us. We will not...
Right.
Tell names or locations.
Yeah. And
so please give us the dirt.
Right. And if you want, you can also you can email book the podcast like anonymously too if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have an email now.
We do.
What is it? Do you not remember?
so many now. It's so stupid. Well, like with the consulting business now, I manage like 6 social media accounts and I'm getting an assistant. So that's going to be cool. That's going to help a lot. Shout out to Scott Ramage and Josh Price with VAs for gyms, like virtual assistants. They have a whole company now.
That's awesome.
They're setting me up with an assistant now that can start doing all the social media and podcast editing and posting and whatnot. So it's a lot of time. But where were we? I went hard.
Email.
Left. Email. Yeah. So right now it's csaconsulting93@gmail.com. So C, the letters csaconsulting93@gmail.com. So that's my general email for, you know, like the administrative stuff. And then I'll create one for the Hooligan Inheritance.
Just so if you one. Just yeah. title it mm-hmm. podcast
yep.
topic.
Yep.
Yeah. Or podcast answer, whatever. Yep. And then
we'll title it. Yeah. Podcast answer. And then put the topic.
Which is deepest wish you have never told your partner.
So deepest wish. So this is
not a secret you've never told your partner.
This is like something you want or want to do. So
Yeah. Want or want to do, or like something that you just haven't felt maybe comfortable sharing, or you're afraid you're going to get rejected. And like, I want to go to this place. And they're like, no, I hate that place. I don't want to go there. Like something that simple. It doesn't have to be dirty, but
dirty.
He doesn't.
You
have
just
to,
made yourself sound.
Doesn't
old.
Have to be nasty.
Just sound dirty.
I'm just saying it doesn't have to be like. I'm not even gonna say it. It's gonna be gross or creepy or whatever. It can totally be all those things
for sure.
But
well, that's the whole point, which is like
deepest wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a secret. The secret is another one, and that's something that you've
secret
done
something
that
you've
you
done.
Haven't yes. that you've kept from your partner.
Something that's happened.
This
or
is
you've done.
Something
yeah.
that you deeply want to
right.
do.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting to get some of those topics.
Oh, geez. Oh, no.
I feel like your DMs are
oh, no. No, you're going to get the weird ones. I'm going to get like, I want to have a puppy. You're going to be like.
What? Have you met your friends?
Yeah, I've met my friends. My friends are not dirty birds. My friends are perfectly sweet and wonderful, and I love them.
Yeah.
All of them, male and female, are lovely and sweet and don't have any weird little things.
This is why I'm glad we have video. The faces you make.
I don't care. Actually, I like it. I don't care. Like there is right. zero judgment. Like literally zero
of course.
Judgment.
Shit. Like we're not judging anybody.
Yeah.
No,
like there
no,
is
not at all.
None.
No.
We all have our stuff. There is. No,
I think one
no
day
judgment.
When the kids are when their last kid is 18, we'll tell some stories.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
All right. This is the Hooligan.
This is the Herodin.
And signing off. Till next time.
See you later.